under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mayor Pruitt? Mayor Pro Tem Holtzclaw?
Here.
Councilmember Bond? Councilmember Todd?
Here.
Councilmember Cavallari?
Here.
Councilmember Mead?
So moved.
Second.
The motion and a second to excuse Councilmember Bond, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Unanimously. Next up is audience communication. I just let everybody know Rebecca is obviously out sick tonight. So the resolution on third, the consent agenda, but the items under city manager reports will be postponed until she's back. She asked us to postpone that, so, and there will not be an executive session. So with that, audience communication, we have
good evening. My name is Brooke Knight, and I am the CEO of the North Shore Senior Center. I am happy to be joined here tonight with two of my colleagues, Randy Bush, who is the president of our board of directors, and Terry Schuler, who many of you know, who is the manager of our Mill Creek Senior Center. And we're excited to be here tonight to share our collective appreciation for all that has been done to make our new senior center a reality. We're so grateful to have had the opportunity to share space with the city, with the senior center next door for the past many, many years. But as the needs of our community have continued to change and the older adult population has continued to grow, we are just thrilled to have a new space to be welcoming our older adults into, and one that we think will really more adequately meet the ever-expanding needs of that population. In 2017, the Mill Creek Senior Center served hundreds of residents of the city of Mill Creek, in addition to many older adults from the surrounding communities. In total, we provided just under 12,000 unique services to individuals through our senior center here. And while that number in and of itself doesn't really tell much of a story, when you think about what each of those individual services meant to older adults in terms of their access to health care, their sense of community, a sense of lack of isolation, mitigating depression, having access to resources and healthy food, and just staying vital and engaged, it really is a tremendous impact on each of those individuals and on our community as a whole. We're a home away from home for many older adults in this community, and we're grateful to be able to continue that work here. With the new facility in Vintage Mill Creek, we're excited to have a space that will be warm and welcoming for seniors and will both allow us to serve more individuals and also allow us to make sure that all of the people walking through our door are really adequately getting their needs met. And of course, none of this would be possible without all of you here on City Council and your support of this project. Without our city manager, Rebecca, I'm sorry to hear she's out ill tonight, but who both had the vision and the determination to make this project possible. And without our wonderful partners at Vintage who've been working hand in hand with us to make sure that all residents, all older adults in our community have a senior center that they can call home. I want to especially appreciate our city manager for working with our organization through what was a number of changes organizationally. I'm relatively new to the organization. I've been there about 4 months. We've gone through some reorganizations. Communication at times has been a bit rocky, admittedly, and as I said, she has shown great determination in this project, and we are grateful for that. And in fact, a few months ago when we came to both Rebecca and you all and said, gosh, we're really worried about the space there. We don't know if the amount of space we have is going to meet our needs. Rebecca very generously was able to allocate an additional 500 square feet to our project to make sure that we had the space to meet our service needs and to fulfill the needs of all of the people walking through our doors. And truly that has made a profound difference in terms of the operations that we'll be able to offer in that space. So we are incredibly grateful for that. Both Rebecca and her staff have been great to work with on all levels. And so we were just thrilled with how everything has been going. In closing, I just want to thank you all for your continued support of older adults in this community and for the Senior Center. We appreciate all that you do, and we look forward to seeing you at our grand opening on April 12th. Thank you.
Hi, good evening. Paul Heise, live at 13521 28th Avenue Southwest in the Heatherwood West neighborhood. I didn't put anything together very formal this evening. I just wanted to come in and utter the words that we don't like to hear, chip seal. Last year, we watched another neighborhood have the chip seal installed and also repaired within the same time period of less than 12 months, I think it was. Our neighborhood had it installed in 2013, and I've been having several conversations and emails with the city on getting that resolved. I know that it's the time of year where budgets and projects are being defined, so I'd like to ensure that our neighborhood, Heatherwood West, is up for consideration to have the chip seal removed or, you know, some type of overlay to fix the problem that we've been dealing with for the last few years. That's about it. And I would really hope to get a formal response from the council or from somebody within the government here that could give us an indication on when, if it's not going to be done this year, as we kind of had somewhat leaned to that may be happening. If it's not able to happen this year, I'd like to know when it's going to be repaired. All right. Thank you very much.
So we had our presentation in December from the members of CSRS. We know that based on a two-year study by Stantec that the estimated price tag for this upgrade to a P25 compliant digital 800 megahertz radio system for the public safety, law enforcement, fire, EMS in Snohomish County, it's going to cost $70 to $75 million. Clearly that it exceeds many of the local jurisdictions' ability to be able to raise that type of money, and CSRS is a non-taxing authority. It's comprised of cities and government entities within Snohomish County, and it's formed by ILA. So they don't have any taxing authority at CSRS. So CSRS has gone out to published an RFP, which we should get the results from, I believe, four separate national vendors here pretty soon, with a little bit better idea of what that total cost of the replacement is going to be. And CSRS has asked the Snohomish County Council to fund that project and then leave the decision on how to fund that project to the Snohomish County Council. Number of options exist, and most of them involve some sort of countywide ballot measure. A number of cities and organizations in Snohomish County have supported CSRS efforts by either resolution or formal letter. Included in your packet are some sample resolutions from Marysville and Linwood, amongst others, as well as the Snohomish County Sheriff and Police Chiefs Association and the Snohomish County Fire Chiefs Association. I can tell you, as the person who signed the Police Chief Association letter to the County Council, that the public safety radio system in Snohomish County is on the brink of failure. And within a couple of years, Motorola, the corporation that builds the parts and provides the service, will stop building the parts and providing that service. We expect to be able to piece together the system over the next few years until we can get a replacement. It's an analog system that was put in service in 1999, nearly 20 years ago, and the new P25 standard that's set by a national public safety radio association is a digital system. and the P25 standard is in use by many of our neighboring jurisdictions. Most recently, King County implemented a P25 compliant upgrade in their county. So as we talk about interoperability between counties and between law enforcement and fire service and EMS organizations, we all do need to be on a same compliant system in order to have that appropriate communications. From a user standpoint, the public safety radio system is vital. It's the lifeline between police officers, firefighters, and the dispatch centers. When you make a 911 call, that call is created in the New World CAD system and then dispatched to the police or fire or EMS personnel. That dispatching is done by radio. And we recently had a failure. Our system was down for about 20 minutes about 10 days ago, and officers and firefighters could not communicate with the dispatch center. There was some intermittent communications between officers and firefighters amongst themselves, but fortunately in that 20-minute time frame or so, we didn't have anything serious occur, but it's an indication of what's to come. CERS has purchased used equipment from neighboring agencies to try and keep the system afloat. The resolution talks about the 911 radio system, and it's important to distinguish between what 911 is and what a 911 system is. So 911 is a phone system. You pick up your phone, your cell phone, or your home phone, and you dial 911, and it connects you with the closest or most appropriate emergency communications department, PSAP, or dispatch center. And the 911 system, however, that's referred to by resolution, is the all-encompassing public safety emergency services system that exists in our county. The 911 phone call is placed, the call for service is created, and then that information is dispatched by a 800 megahertz radio to police and fire or EMS throughout the county. So when we talk about the system within our resolution and then the paperwork and the agenda summary here, that's what we're talking about. It's not the failing of the phones. It's not self-service issues or typical telecommunication problems. This is strictly limited to the radios that I use to talk to other police officers, that I use to talk to the dispatch center, and they dispatch calls for service from the community to our officers. The included in this packet is a worksheet that was provided by CERS, which defines loosely five separate options for potential funding sources and some pros and cons for each one of those. This was work product that was designed to prompt discussion. This is the type of information that the Snohomish County Council will weigh when they make a decision on how they will choose to pursue funding. Each one of those requires some sort of a ballot initiative. Other than number five, and number five option there is each city or entity pay their share based on an assessment formula. We did that nearly 20 years ago. The city of Mill Creek and a bunch of other entities in Snohomish County paid an assessment based on what it cost to implement that system in 1999. We're paying on a 20-year bond. We pay, give or take, about $33,000 a year, and we owe about $61,000 on that. So we expect to make our last payment in 2019. The current radio system is projected to be necessary to replace beginning in 2020. CERS expects to be able to keep the program and the system afloat with the supply of parts they have on hand. They expect that any vendor that comes in to replace the system is going to need 3 to 5 years to get that done. So it's timely, but CERS feels that with the surplus parts they have on hand, warehoused now, some even off of eBay, they can keep the system afloat during that transition time. So we're getting ready to finish paying for our 800 megahertz radio system that we
put in service in 99, and now somebody's going to have to pay for the next one for the next 20 years. And the city manager recommends that the council consider creating this resolution to let the Snohomish County Council know the city of Mill Creek encourages you to take this on, encourages you to fund this vital public safety radio system countywide, and support CSRS's efforts to seek that funding through the council. And I'll entertain any questions you may have on that.
Thanks, Chief Elwin. I think the words you used were vital for public safety, and I 100% agree. Well, no one really likes the cost mechanism or the cost involved. It's just one of those things, the price for poker. I'm going to support this resolution simply because there's a need. Technology has evolved, and it's time. Thank you.
Thanks, Chief, for a good explanation. Thanks for differentiating how all these pieces work together on our emergency system. But this is what you guys use every day, too. This is an important tool for whether it's an emergency or not. That's great. So our resolution is basically asking county council to figure out some way to kind of fund the whole thing, and then we will. Is it still up to them to decide if they apportion the cost back out to us, or are we making a statement that we really think it ought to be just countywide, don't do an assessment like we did last time?
That's correct. The message that each city and participating entity that has done this already, the message we want to send to the council is this is a countywide public safety issue that needs to be funded at that level. And we mentioned in this worksheet the option 5 of making each entity pay on their own. Different cities may be in different positions to be able to do that. It's not at all a preferred way to try and piece this all together, because we're confident that there will be cities or fire districts or organizations in our county that just can't afford to do that. When this happened in 1999, that was the case as well. The Snohomish County Council at that time stepped up and said, okay, you know, we'll take care of the rest. Snohomish County staff have assured us that the council is not going to do that again. They're not going to step up and do that because that essentially cost them money that they had to then get paid back. Our resolution is to ask the council, let's find one of these options or some other option that we haven't considered on a countywide level, a countywide assessment to fund this countywide system.
So that's the two flavors of levy lid lift, and the flavor, the original flavor versus multi-year flavor or whatever it is.
It looks like we need according to the numbers, a 9-year levy, a property tax levy, if we go with that to pay for the system, where sales tax will be correct. And sales tax will generate about 15% of the cost of the system, or the rest will be about 7.5 to 9 million. But the key is the CSRS didn't want to give back the county council until of course. Has to pass. This ballot issue has to pass countywide. So they were just given options.
Okay. So that makes sense. We're trying to say to the county, you guys pick which option works. It looks like the Firefighters Association said, we think sales tax makes sense.
Because they're concerned being a junior tax industry about losing property tax.
Yeah, okay, that was it. And Linwood didn't weigh in on the funding. They just kind of said this is a good idea.
Yeah, and we aren't either. The real first sample ordinance aspect of guaranteeing we would support the government. And talking to
Yeah, no, I agree we need it. And I think the trick is to make sure it's equitable. The fifth option, which we're not recommending, says equally share costs. Equally is good deal for Everett, not so good for Granite Falls. I'm not sure where we think on that, but I think equitable is probably what they meant. I may not fully understand, but I know that our firefighters and police, who are spread throughout the county, use this as their primary mechanism of communication. Community Transit, the transit agency in the past, has used some of this, but has made a decision that for their needs, they don't need the reliability and the cost of P25. They're going to go with VoIP and do a lot of other data integration on their buses. Are there other agencies that would want to jump on once this is the new systems out there and would inequitably get service out of this that we should care about? And I don't know. I thought the PUD had something on this, but maybe they don't. And maybe with the transit agency out of it, maybe a countywide sales tax and the fact that we got police and fire everywhere makes it equitable. I'm just concerned there was some special interest groups, I'm putting that in air quotes, that would be
sure
getting away with something.
So this is a public safety radio system, and so that is limited to police, fire, and EMS agencies. And the PUD, I know that I think before I started here, the PUD expressed some discussion anyway about being involved. But the SERS, and the mayor would probably know this better than I, that the SERS executive board realized that that's not a public safety entity, and ergo not a good partner for SERS.
And if the only special outside group that might matter would be the tribes.
Correct.
Because they contract with SERS for
service. Yes, for certain services, correct.
So, well, I guess, and I'd leave it up to the county council ultimately is going to do this, but I guess I would throw that in there as they should think about it. If there's special interest groups that would say, gosh, that's a cool system, we have a need to interface with it. And the PUD, you know, there's a big disaster. Maybe the PUD is somebody you want to have on the radios. I just would hate to see them say, oh, and the sales tax should go for us to have a whole gob of radios that is not really the same thing as what you guys need as a day-to-day tool.
So, as I mentioned, SERS in its current form is based on interlocal agreements with multiple organizations and entities throughout Snohomish County. Not all are signers to that ILA. There's a project in the works right now. The SERS Executive Board passed a resolution in December, I believe, that essentially resolved to pursue an examination and study of consolidation with the new Snohomish County 911, which is the consolidation of SnowCom and Snowpack that became effective at the first of this year. And should that study prove fruitful, and I add, Snohomish County 911 at their first executive board meeting last night committed to the same thing, participating in that joint study. So SERS and Snohomish County 911 will meet in February to discuss, to begin the discussion of potential consolidation. The reason I bring that up is should that consolidation be realized, there are provisions in the Articles of Incorporation and Bylaws and Governance documents for Snohomish County 911 that talk about latecomers, talk about entities who want to join the organization. And there are pieces in there that that address you got to pay. If you're going to join this group, then you'll have to pay to get in and you'll have to pay your assessment moving forward. And so should we have a tribe or some other public safety entity who would like to become part of that, then there's a mechanism in place to welcome them, but they've got to basically pay up to get in.
Yeah.
And should the consolidation between SERS and Snohomish County 911 not occur, then SERS has resolved to review its governance model and basically mirror the foundation set by the Snohomish County governance model to make it more representative of organizations throughout Snohomish County. So again, that would end up basically adopting that same theory that here's what we're going to do moving forward, but if there are latecomers or organizations who want to join, you're going to have to pay. So either one of those options would result in some safeguards for any group that may want to get on board later. Yeah.
I was going to suggest so we can move this along. I noticed that some of these resolutions adopted by other jurisdictions are essentially based on what has been presented with a couple tweaks. And in the last sentence of the resolution we're asked to consider, it does reference equitable funding source. But what I'm going to suggest I might make a motion for is the resolution as presented with one change, and that is if you look at both the South Snohomish County Fire and Rescue resolution as well as the City of Marysville resolution, there's one recital added that is not in ours. The next to last recital states that SERS is engaged with Snohomish County in a competitive bidding procurement process to select a qualified vendor to provide new countywide 911 radio system equipment and services, and this is the recital that's missing from ours that I would suggest we add, equitable countywide funding for a new radio system must be authorized and secured to finance a new radio system that has a potential preliminary cost estimated at $60 to $75 million. So for some reason, those jurisdictions decided to add that same language into their resolution, and it's not in ours that's presented. So I think I would make a motion that we pass the resolution as presented with that additional recital added from South Snohomish County Fire District, or is it South Snohomish County, where is it here? No, I'm sorry, the City of Marysville. I was reading the wrong line. It's the downside of not having the hard copy. I can't look at multiple pages at the same time. Does everyone see the recital I'm referring to?
So you're looking at Marysville is the one you're reading right now?
It's the one.
Whereas equitable.
Yes.
Countywide funding. We've got the.
Well, I think we've heard the concerns expressed up here is there's multiple funding sources that have been identified. I don't think we're being asked to support anyone now. We have concerns and want to make sure that whatever the county adopts is equitable, whatever that may end up meaning. And so the resolution references the end. It has the word equitable in it, but I think it would be more comprehensive and reflect what I've heard discussed up here if we add that one recital that's in the others, just identifying that equitable countywide funding must be authorized.
We've got the equitable funding in the last sentence of our now therefore part.
Yeah, for some reason that is the same in Marysville's, but they added that one recital.
Whereas.
Correct.
We've got the whereas preliminary cost estimates for new radio system exceed. That doesn't appear in the other ones. Does it?
I'm not sure which one I'm looking at now. And that's Mary. I saw that. I'm sorry, you said it was in ours, but not others?
It's in ours, but it's not
others. No, it is in the language of the Marysville recital, in that one recital.
Well, fundamentally, I'm with you. I like the whereas that Marysville and South County Fire have, that equitable county funding for new radio system must be authorized and secured. I like that. I would be happy to support adding that in there, because it really gets to the issue that I think we're concerned about.
Yeah, so I'm not changing the resolution as presented, just adding one recital to emphasize the equitable funding.
So you're adding one additional whereas.
Correct.
Not changing
anything else, just adding one additional recital it would be to add the last recital that is found in the City of Marysville Resolution number 2430 that's included in our packet.
Spell analog. I like that too. But we're going to go British here, I guess. I don't know.
Know how to spell deeds?
Okay, so can we add that?
We certainly can add that.
Can we add that?
Yes, yeah. I will add that.
And I think that fits right into what we anticipate and within the spirit of your discussion.
Motion to approve resolution 2018-571 with the additional whereas.
I have made and will make that motion.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Passes unanimously. Oh, Councilmember Bond is not here to do vouchers.
I did it for him.
You did it? Good. Yeah. So we're up to the consent agenda.
No exceptions.
City Council meeting minutes of January 2nd, 2018.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Passes unanimously. Okay, now we're up to reports. First, if anybody...
January 5th.
What did I say?
You said April 25th.
Well, you know, I've got it.
3 months.
Okay, January 25th. And it's Thursday, and the doors open at 5 o'clock. There'll be some very brief speeches at 6 o'clock, and you get to roam through the place and learn all about it. So if anybody can make it, please do so. And if you see me, let me know you're there so I can acknowledge it.
Well, I'm recalling last time we did this, we made sure that Vince or Mike or Brian or asked the same question of all of the different candidates. So we all, and we just each had one question, or that's, is that what we're kind of thinking in terms of moving it along, keeping the time frame going, and asking, making sure we ask the same one?
Okay. But making sure that we're not asking the same
question. That Brian doesn't come in with the same question I've got, so that, okay.
Don't have a report, but I will be attending the arena sports event.
Thank you.
I will be at arena sports on Thursday. I will also be attending in your Phil for the opening of the Stellar Kids Dentistry out at East Gateway on Monday afternoon.
Did they move that, Gina?
Yes.
Oh.
I
guess I won't be attending it on the 5th at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
We appreciate your
eagerness.
Three fillings.
Yeah, I need one. If you could make, in response to Mr. Heiss's comment, if you could make a note for Rebecca, recall that when we had the chip seal discussion, we decided to move forward this past year with the areas in the south, but we also decided to act up at Heatherwood West. And I believe it was in November, I asked her to get that process started with putting together some cost estimates. So that's what I think Mr. Heiss is waiting to hear from. We haven't got that report back from Rebecca yet, so that's what we, I think, is the next step for her to report back to us on some costing and timing issues with regard to that. The last thing is on Snohomish County tomorrow. The meeting, our monthly meeting, was pushed back 1 week. In regards to the CPP policies, that second policy that we was presented to us back in November was considered by the PAC, and they decided to take it under consideration for one more month. They've convened a small work group to look at it a little more closely. They want to make sure that it doesn't open the door to massive UGA expansions, which is not the intent of the the policy, but they have deferred taking action until their meeting in February. So when the SCT Steering Committee convenes this month, we will only have one, that first policy that we supported by resolution in front of the SCT. I don't know if they will take action on that one and wait for the following month, or if they'll punt on that one, but I will report back, I guess with the meeting next week, I'll be able to report back at our first meeting in February. That's what I have.
Thanks. I handed out a couple of things here. This is what was handed out at, should just back up. School district had, they said, almost 100 different meetings they've held with PTAs and community groups and up there at the Education Resource Center with whoever wanted to hear about how the schools are doing, and they also said, here's what's on the bond and levy issue, and they explained some of that. That material here is pretty much what's in the flyer. I think people probably got these in the mail. I think they, at least I got mine in the mail yesterday. I think this is coming out. So this is the information about the school district. There is one more of the information sessions that is this Friday. It's very useful information to hear about how the schools are performing. They've got some really good numbers. They've done a really good job in the last few years in particular at getting their, in many cases, 10 percentage points ahead of the state and many percentage points ahead of our other county neighbors in terms of performance for four-year graduation rate and things like that. So that's a good opportunity. I sent the thing to Gina today. I'll have her send it to all the council tonight. But there's one more shot on January 26th if you want to go and hear it firsthand. Or there's also a link to the slide deck if you just want to look through the slide deck they've got. You've heard me before, but I think it's important that we understand what our schools are doing, what they provide. I think it's a big part of our the vitality of our community. So schools are important. Everybody can make their own decision on how they want to vote on the election, but I think informed voters are better voters, so that's what that's about. The other one I handed out was we had the SEC meeting last week, and our guest speaker was Sue Rahr from the Criminal Justice Training Center, and these were her slides. That's not what's important. This was just leftover handouts. I didn't burn any trees for these. But on the back is basically her ask, which aligns with AWC's overall legislative priority. The trick is, here's the short version of the story, and the chief can correct me. A number of years ago, there was a fee added to every traffic ticket that is written and paid for that is supposed to put money into the public safety education account to pay for basic training and some supervisor training and criminal justice training, all kinds of training. A few years ago, recession came along. The people continued to write tickets, police continued to write tickets, people kept paying on them. Recession came along, cities didn't hire as many. State looked over and said, gosh, you guys got a bunch of money in that account. Whoosh, and they swept it all. And they've gotten the habit of sweeping it since then. So now Sue is in a position, and her agency every year fundamentally has 10 of the classes they need paid for, but she has to go sing for her supper for 16 to 18 more. And so it is a difficult situation. So right now I think it's a five-month wait. If you hired somebody today, 5 months to get somebody in.
Yeah, it's a police officer hired last week. We'll wait till July to get into the academy.
Yeah, and it's going to get worse.
It is.
The curves are going the wrong direction, so it's going to be really bad if she can't get more money.
And the budget for the 10 classes was set in 2009, I think, and it has remained static since then. 2009, recession, we're not hiring, economy's in really bad shape, the PSEA count is swept out, and that money... That assessment still occurs on traffic tickets, but the money doesn't go to the PSEA account any longer. It's been diverted. But the 10 classes were set at that time based on what the need was and what the hiring was. The need and the hiring has increased drastically in both the Basic Law Enforcement Academy and in the Corrections Academy. We're growing. Populations are growing. Government's growing. We need more police officers and corrections officers, but they're still at 2009 levels for now.
So this sheet is kind of her, she can't advocate, but this is kind of the facts on what she needs, and really it's too late to add to this year's classes. She doesn't have the capacity to ramp up, but this is the money she needs to be able to get back to the capacity that our chief and all the chiefs and the sheriff need to be able to train the officers we're hiring. It's just crazy to hire an officer
and spend $50,000 equivalent waiting for them to do something. And so this is a penny wise, pound foolish deal. So if you get a chance to grab one of your legislators, or if you happen to work for one of them, you could just remind them that this is one of those crazy things where the public is paying for this. It's getting swept and diverted to something else that bothers me in the first place. But fundamentally, we also can't just overlook this. Things are tight down there. They don't have a lot of extra money, but this is critical money. This is just silly that the cities are trying to do the right thing about having police and sheriffs on the street and corrections officers at the jail. It's crazy.
Is the assumption that just the cities will pick up the additional costs with what we pay to send folks to the academy? I mean, is that why there haven't been increases since, what did you say, 09?
Correct. Something that has changed is we do now pay a share of the costs to send somebody to the police academy. That didn't exist before. That was something that came as a result of 2009 levels. Now we need more classes. We can't afford to pay for it because we're still at 2009 funding levels. So now there are assessments charged to each city and county that send folks down there. It's not full. We're not paying full fare, but that's certainly something that the legislature could look at, increasing how much each city and county pays per officer to send them. I haven't heard discussion of that other than just conceptually that's something that could occur.
Yeah, and I wasn't suggesting that either. I just knew that the cities not that long ago and the counties had started picking up the slack for additional costs. So I wasn't sure what that was in reaction to, or they had just gone up, or it was burden shifting, or whatever it was, but here we are. So,
okay. I think Ty Trenary has basically said, I'm stuck, and he is doing his own class using her facility or something or other as a one-off kind of deal. So you may have heard about it in Snohomish County, but that's really not a model they want to.
No, not at all.
And I think fundamentally the PSEA account has got enough money flowing into it to pay for this. This is, should not be a problem, other than the fact that they've diverted this funds and people have forgotten that. So,
and that's it. It's been forgotten. It was swept at one time, and now it's become the new norm. But it's not working very well at all.
And I'm headed down to AWC for the event, and I will not be back for arena sports. I'm sorry. I would love to be there. Would have been fun, but I'll see him another time. Thanks.
The only thing I just want to mention is you had an opportunity to meet Bagheera and Bagheera's partner, Nathan. So Nathan's really backseat to Bagheera. Bagheera's the star, and Nathan's just the person who walks with him. They are a state-certified tracking team now. They finished their training last Friday. They're doing some in-house training here just to take, similar to what we do when we send somebody to a police academy, and then we bring them back and we teach them, okay, that's how you do things there. Here's some things you need to know about being a police canine team in Snohomish County. So they're doing some training with Ian Durkee, our existing canine handler, who's had quite a bit of experience, and so they're working together. And spend about 6 months out on the street chasing bad guys, and then we'll send them back to school for drug detection work. It's going very well. I spoke to the head trainer Friday afternoon after they finished, and he just heaped praises on not only how great our dog is, but how great our handler is too. Very impressed with the product that came out of that training. So we should all be proud of the work that we did to get that going. I know I am. It's fun to see him out there getting it done. That's all I have.
Can I just say something to that, Mayor? Just real quickly. Working in the field of law enforcement, there are a lot of agencies envious of the position we're in with getting the dog, having the motor unit, and the position that we've now placed the city in with accreditation. It's a good time to be a Mill Creek citizen. It's a safer place. It's good stuff we're doing here. We are the talk of the town. I know we don't always get the accolades or the pats on the back, but it is well known in the industry that we are now setting the bar here, and that's great stuff, and it's a great example to be admired by all of you. Thanks, Chief.
Thank you.
Okay,